Sir, why did you wait until the last minute to pay your taxes?
Taxes? Isn't this the line from Metallica?
Sir, why did you wait until the last minute to pay your taxes?
Because I'm an idiot. Happy?
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN. Let me tell you how it will.
It's coming. And do you know what you're doing? No one does. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Nobody understands. How could you? The new tax law kicks in. And our friend Lewis Sands joins us from Sikich. And Sikich and Sikich and Sikich. What's the name of the company?
Just Sikich.
Just one Sikich?
Just one Sikich. Yes, sir. How you doing, Steve?
Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you. Thanks for having me on again.
Is this a headache because of the new tax law, or are the new law changes not that big a deal?
The first part. Yeah, no, it's definitely, it's very different. It's you know, it's anytime there's something new, there's a learning curve, and listen, we understand the changes. It's not like it's rocket science, but to communicate that to everybody, and if you're used to a certain norm, you know, getting this much back or this was deductible, all the rules have been, or not all, but a lot of the rules have been changed. So there's been a lot of very interesting discussions with clients this season so far, and more to come, I'm sure.
Is the AMT still a thing?
It's still a thing, but it's hitting far fewer people, which is a good thing. Just preliminary, quote unquote preliminary returns. It was expanded, so it's not to dip as low to cover the lower income people, and we're seeing that come to fruition. Far fewer of our clients are actually having to pay AMT, which is a great thing.
And is there a number where it kicks in? Kind of. I mean, I know you can't say specifically because circumstances change.
You can't say specifically because circumstances change, but really what it's aiming for is a certain level of income that is at the lower tax rate. So if you make all interest or all wages, that's at the top tax bracket. If you have a lot of qualified dividends or long-term capital gains, that's taxed at a lower rate, and if you have a certain number of that. But as a general rule, they raised the floor that applies to most people for the AMT by about $150,000 this year. So that's good news of taxable income. So, yeah.
The alternative minimum tax AMT. What about deductions? Do they matter anymore? For years, I've gone through my 5,000-page American Express year-end summary, and I found everything I could possibly find and turned all that stuff over. Do I have that same headache this year?
You probably don't. I'm painting with a very broad brush. Deductions still exist. Far fewer of them still exist. And the ones that were the difficult ones, the shoebox full of receipts and whatnot, are probably irrelevant at this point.
So charity, yes. What else should
charity,
I be concerned
yes.
with?
Mortgage interest, if you still have a mortgage on your house, they changed the rules for the amounts that you can deduct. But if you were before December, I think, 17th of last year, previous amounts are grandfathered in on the first $1 million of your mortgage. That's still there. You still get a deduction for your real estate tax and your state tax paid, but that's the one that's gotten a lot of attention because no matter what the number is, it's capped at $10,000. So me and Khalil Mack are getting the same deduction. It doesn't seem fair,
doesn't
but we're
seem
seeing a
right.
lot. No.
Not saying, right?
And goes without saying, we don't make the same amount of money. So that's why that's.
I want to get Dave in here, and I think I know what question Dave's going to ask. Go ahead.
Oh, really? Okay. What question?
I thought you were going to ask about prepaid property taxes.
Well, that's kind of part of this, but I guess with the increased standard deduction now to itemize. And to go through this, I think this is what you were getting at a moment ago, but at what point does it not make sense to itemize and just go ahead and take that deduction? Is it as simple as being at that threshold where you get you don't add up enough of the itemized deductions to get to what the standard deduction amount would be?
That's exactly it. You want a job? Because you explained it better than a lot of people that I talk to. It's arithmetic. You don't have to claim in advance. you've got this standard deduction, which you're right on the money. It's basically doubled from prior years. So if you double and you're just comparing the itemized versus the standard, whichever is higher, you would, you don't have to take it. You should, because it's better for you. So in the past, with the lower standard deduction and a lot more deductions available, anybody that owned a house or made any a decent amount of income or had charitable contributions or, you know, a real estate, they would almost always itemize, and it wasn't even close. Well, doubling the standard deduction and eliminating a lot of the, or putting a cap on a lot of the deductions that would be itemized, has thrown a lot more people into the standard deduction. But you don't have to decide in advance. This year, I think, is the new normal. So if you go through the same process you've gone through, collect, you know, like Steve was saying, the same receipts and everything, and see that it doesn't matter, that it wasn't even close, well, then going forward, you probably don't need to bother with a lot of that stuff. But it's truly just arithmetic. You're just comparing which one's higher and taking the higher one.
What about those prepaid property taxes that were such a big deal one New Year's Eve ago in Illinois? Did I do the right thing or the dumb thing?
Well, always you did the right thing.
Yeah, that's a good point. But in my case, where I prepaid my property taxes, is that going to work out for me?
It probably will, because what you did was you prepaid your 18 in 17 before there was a limit. Now in 18, here we are in 19 doing your 18 returns, you would be, that's when you otherwise would have claimed those. You would plug those in on top of your state income tax paid, and to the extent that that total number exceeded 10 grand, I'm going to go on record saying I'm assuming it did, you wouldn't have gotten deductions for it anyway. So you would have gotten nothing for it in 18. You probably got something for it in 17. So apples to apples, it was worth doing.
Okay.
So, Lewis, you and your CPA colleagues, how confident do you feel that you know the changes? Like, or as it comes up with each person's return or company's return, are you having to reference the new rules to make sure you're doing it correctly?
Well, I think both, right? So I think as in 99% of the time, you know exactly what you're doing. And by this point, we've done it a number of times. Going into the season, that's an excellent question. We really had to bone up, not on the easy things like this deduction is here or this is there, but there was a whole lot of, especially for businesses and whatnot, there were a whole lot of new things that didn't have a lot of guidance from the IRS and any regulations to help steer us in the right direction. There were some gray areas. So we know the answer. I mean, it, for every year, right? You know the answer until you're not sure. Then you got to know what you know and know what you don't, and know when to look it up. So that never more true than this year, for sure.
Did the government shutdown, is that slowing up people's returns?
Yes, it is, because for two reasons. Number one, it slowed down people even starting to really think about it. The IRS was shut down, and so a lot of the tables and whatnot that we were looking for weren't ready on time. And we see a lot of 1099s from brokerage houses and banks coming just another week or so later than they normally do, and they're citing the shutdown as the main reason for that. Not really sure why, but that's, we're hearing that the shutdown is impacting that, and it's also slowing down refunds as well, because historically, if you could have gotten your tax returns in mid-February, you could count on that refund a lot quicker. It's still pretty good, but it's, everything's just a couple. It's not a big deal, but it would be wrong to say that it didn't impact it.
Trump and company claim the new tax law is excessively beneficial, not to the super rich, but to the regular folks. Now, you can define regular folks differently, but have you seen that to be so far in the returns you processed, are, quote, regular folks getting a break?
Yes. I would say, I'm answering your last question, because excessively, you know, I'm going to steer clear of adverbs, as it were.
Yeah, I understand.
But, yeah, as a general rule, it was a perfect storm, because the stock market was doing very well at the end of last year until right at the very end when it really took some nosedives.
Right.
But most people in, you know, that we're seeing, painting with a very broad brush, had a little bit more income than they had in the prior year, had less deductions because of the caps or the elimination of some, and are still paying either less tax or less incrementally than they would if the old law was still in place. So, you know, if you made another 10 grand and had an additional $1,000 in tax, that's only a 10% tax rate for that, you know, in my very simple example, whereas last year you might have had $1,500. We're seeing people coming in with less deductions, higher income, and either owing the same or less, or maybe just a little bit more tax, but it's helped them out. And what's doing it is not the deductions, it's the lower tax rates across, you know, as it tiers up through the seven levels, they're a couple percent lower each time. That's what's really benefiting people.
It's simple math, as you said, the arithmetic doesn't lie. Will you take a couple listener questions?
Do my best.
All right, 312-981-7200. Texters, your phone calls. We'll come back with those in just a second. And when we come back, answer this for me. Is there any truth to the fact that folks making more in household income than $100,000 but less than, say, $250,000 are the ones that are getting squeezed here? So answer that when we come back. It's another new tax law question. Lewis Sands with us, Sikich LLC in Naperville is where he does his accounting, and probably at home as well. Do your relatives ask you to do their taxes?
Every one of them, yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
That must be fun for you.
Well, you know what? They're not very difficult, and then they're grateful. So it's truly the least I can do. I try to get it done early in the season before I'm burnt out, though.
But
I
you're a very nice guy, and I don't see you asking for that favor back. Do you ever ask for a favor in return?
No, never, no. You know, it's nice to have it in your pocket just in case you need it, like, okay. You know, like the Godfather.
847, Texter. I'm in that married couple income that's over $100,000, but not by much. We both claim zero deductions and have to pay over $3,000 this year. It's the first year our kids are not deductible. Any thoughts on that?
As a general rule, we've seen that, too. And, again, just based on just that finite amount of facts you gave, it would not surprise me if they have to pay for the first time in a long time, but what you would want to do is go back and look and see how much more they probably, you know, if they're two working spouses making, you know, around, they probably under withheld throughout the year. And if you look at the total tax for the year, this year versus last year, it's probably less, but it's instead of paying $5,000 in when you should have had four and getting a $1,000 refund, you paid four in and now you owe, you know, $3,000 because that's people that are just paycheck. We're seeing a lot of them owing or with refunds reduced as a result just of that. Now, with that said, Tug, they mentioned the kids. At $100,000 income, everybody in 2017 got what was called a personal exemption, and that's right. Just for being alive, and it was about $4,000. It was like $4,025. So if you're talking about a married couple with two kids, I think was the example, that's $16,100 of deductions that are gone under the new tax law. Right. So that stinks. But there's a child tax credit where if the kids are, you know, still living at home and not in college, that used to phase out much lower, you know, $50,000. That's way up there, up around $400 now. So they're going to get $2,000 each for each of those kids. So that's, you know, if they lose $16,000 and they're at the 25%, you know, tax bracket, they lost $4,000 worth of tax, or, you know, their tax went up by four. But if they get $2,000 each for each of those kids, that we're seeing that normally balances out, especially in that specific set of circumstances.
And we know we're speaking in generalities here, but that 100 to 250 wedge of income, are they getting whacked by this, or are they more individual, a la carte, depends on what you do kind of thing, too?
A little bit more of the second. As a general rule, it's not that income level that's going to get you whacked. It's the sets of facts and circumstances. I mentioned a little earlier, it's with the tax rates being lower all the way up the dial, where you're really going to see, you know, that's why you'd mentioned maybe the president had said it's not for the super rich. Well, I would suggest that if you, you know, have 3% less and you make anything over $600,000, that small percentages of big numbers are big numbers. So you could see wealthier people, now they may lose a lot of state tax deductions, but their Fed tax is going way down. What's really hitting people are people that hit that perfect storm where maybe they own a house, probably in, you know, northern Illinois with high real estate tax, high state tax, lots of kids, you know, so they lost, you know, a family of four, they lost $16,000 worth of deductions for their personal exemptions. They probably lost another $10,000 to $15,000 in state tax deductions and a lot of the other miscellaneous. So if you used to be able to really itemize and get a lot of those benefits and you don't now, and you're also not making enough money to make it up on the back end with the lower tax rates, that's who gets pinched. Not so much just solely between those right. Bookends of income.
Yeah. All right, lightning round here. Let's go to Rich on the northwest side. All right, Rich, what's your question?
My question is, I can't figure out how this is beneficial. My return was 28.7% less this year. I drive my vehicle around from job site to job site all day long, can't deduct that. I'm a union guy, so I can't deduct my union dues, can't deduct my work clothes. Basically, this thing, and then I also have some properties and about $18,000 worth, and I lose $8,000 in deductions. How is this beneficial for the middle class? I only make a little over $101,000.
Yeah, so you're getting whacked all the way around, and I'm sure you're hearing some of that, Lewis, right?
Without a doubt. And unfortunately, that's really the situation is there were winners and losers. This was a tax reconciliation, right? Which means it had to, whenever we lower a tax, they have to keep one, or everything had to kind of pay for itself within a $1.9 trillion window. So the fact that, you know, corporate tax rates went down means, and charitable is still there. Miscellaneous itemized deductions, which your caller was talking about with his union dues, right? And his unreimbursed medical, business expenses, mileage, these sorts of things. All of that was typically deductible as a to the extent it exceeded 2% of his adjusted gross income, which it most certainly did, and that was probably a very nice deduction. Those he's paying by being the person that had that for those deductions. It absolutely is not benefiting him. The person that was in the standard deduction before and maybe rented and didn't have a lot of kids and had it double is getting a windfall out of it. So it's definitely on the backs of people like your last caller. He's definitely paying. Now, he's probably paying a little bit less tax on his income, but net-net, he's probably worse off, depending on how many kids, just based on what he said.
And that's not how it was sold. You donate to church and the charities you normally donate, though, that's all good, yeah?
It is. It is. Now, the one thing is we're seeing a lot of, this was the first time people are seeing it applied. Churches, by far, two-thirds of all charitable contributions of any kind in this country are to churches and church-related things, loaves and fishes, this sorts of thing. They were very concerned because, as someone, Dave, I think, was mentioning, the standard deduction is so much higher. If my charitable deduction, if I'm going to be taking the standard deduction, my charities, I'm not getting any deduction for it. So it's people are concerned, well, maybe people will stop giving or they'll give less because there's not as much of a deduction. And we're seeing now that that's absolutely the case. So people are trying to find ways. People are always going to give to the church because that's what they want to do, but maybe they don't give as much.
Right. So move as much money over there this year as you can for next year. All right. Give me yes or no's on these, if you would. Student loans, okay?
Yes.
All right. My husband died before I filed my taxes. I don't have his signature. What do I do? Obviously, that's not a yes or a no.
Yes. No, she still needs to file the return. If he died, if he was alive at the end of the year, so she's still married, there's a box where you check, taxpayer deceased, and she would sign her name and, presumably sign as the spouse, for deceased. There's wording. But, yeah, she absolutely can sign it on his behalf.
Are we going to be able to write off mortgage interest? That's a general question.
Yes.
Okay, and a lot of people are upset about this tax law. We're selling a house. Yeah, I bet you do. We're selling a house. What would you expect to see in regards to changes in capital gains? Is that an easy explanation, or is that a long one?
I can make anything long. I'll try not to
make it short.
Capital, you only have to pay tax, which is capital gains, on your house to the extent that it exceeds. If you're married and you lived there two of the previous 5 years, you get the first $500,000 of gain without having to pay tax on it at all. That's so right. If you're in a situation where on top of that you still got gains, well then yeah, you're going to pay. It starts out at 15%, and based on your total income level, it can get up as high as 20. But it's unlikely that people will have to pay tax on the sale of their house.
Way too many topics to cover here. You're going to have to come back, mister.
I'd be happy to. Happy to.
All right, Lewis. Thank you very much. Lewis Sands at Sikich, LLC. He's a good guy. And I'm sorry we couldn't get to all your questions, but we will get to many more when he's on. Let's get him on again next week.
Absolutely.
Leading up to tax week.
I can do that.
And let's do a podcast with him. Super Joe, good idea.